Nicola, Brother and Sister, C.C. St. Helena, California, January 23, 1907. Dear Brother and Sister Nicola, what a pleasure it would be to me to visit you at Melrose. I would be glad to look once more on the beautiful country there, and to ride out and see the lakes again. They are certainly very beautiful. When I first visited Melrose, I thought that a more desirable site for a sanitarium could not be found, and I have not changed my mind. I have written in my diary some things in regard to the Melrose Sanitarium and its advantages, and I will send you a copy. I would be pleased to see Sister King again. I look back with pleasure to my visit to the Melrose Sanitarium, for you all did all you possibly could to make my stay there a pleasant one. I am interested in the improvements you have made in your buildings. Now the objectionable features in the noble building where you live are removed. I knew that something must be done for this building, and I am thankful to God that in His providence this has been done. Your building, standing on the rise of the ground, will now have a better view than before. My brother, I have a burden for the city of Boston. I pray that the Lord will arouse the missionary spirit among our people to work for this city and its suburbs. I pray that He will raise up laborers to give the last message of warning, and that sheaves may be gathered from this place for the great harvest. Many, very many, will be terribly surprised when the Lord shall come suddenly as a thief in the night. Let us watch and pray, lest coming suddenly He find us sleeping. My soul is deeply stirred as I consider how much we ought to do for perishing souls. The prediction of Daniel, "Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased," is to be fulfilled in our giving of the warning message. Many are to be enlightened regarding the sure word of prophecy. Daniel 12, verse 4. There ought to be 1,000 laborers at work in Boston today. The salvation of souls should be our first consideration. I am troubled when I see many rejoicing in temporal prosperity, for those who possess worldly treasure seldom seek earnestly to secure the heavenly. They are in danger of falling into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown man in destruction. To those who seek the heavenly treasure, a more cheerful and encouraging prospect is held out. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6, verse 33. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold upon eternal life. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17 to 19. There are some things we do not understand concerning the problems of this life. We need clear moral perceptions in order to understand the mystery of godliness. We have such an uncertain sense of eternal realities. But in Christ there is certainty. Through Him we may know the love of God, which passeth knowledge. Many who profess to be Christians do not advance step by step in the knowledge of God and in true faith in Jesus Christ. Feeling is not to be the test of our religion. We must rely firmly upon God. We must eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of God. This means that we shall appropriate to ourselves the words of Scripture and live by them, letting all the life's actions be controlled by a Thus saith the Lord. My dear friends, we do not realize that we can have the pure, unadulterated faith that works by love and purifies the soul. We need a more firm reliance upon a Thus saith the Lord. If we have this, we shall not trust to feeling and be ruled by feeling. God asks us to rest in His love. It is our privilege to know the Word of God as a sure and tried guide, an infallible assurance. Let us work on the faith side of the question. Let us believe and trust and talk faith and hope and courage. Let the praise of God be in our hearts and on our lips oftener than it is. Whosoever offereth praise glorifieth God. See Psalm 50, verse 23. keep the mind stayed upon God, and know the love of Christ as the Word of God reveals it. This Word is life. Talk of Christ. Call others to behold Him as your Redeemer. It is our privilege to rest in an active, living faith in Christ as the life-giver. It is our privilege to comprehend with all saints what is the length and depth and height, and to know the love of God which passeth knowledge, and be filled with all the fullness of God. Let us contemplate Christ as the one in whom all fullness dwells. Beholding Him as our personal Savior, we shall appreciate the value of His saving grace. We should think about Jesus more than we do. We should let His praise be in our hearts. We should speak of the love that has been so abundantly expressed for us. We certainly have every reason to praise God with heart and soul and voice, saying, "I will praise the Lord for His great love wherewith He hath loved me." Let your patients see that it is their privilege also to let the heart abound with grateful thanksgiving. My brother and sister, lift Him up, the Christ of Calvary. Lift Him up, that the world may behold Him. Talk of His goodness, sing of His love, and give Him the grateful thanks of your hearts.